Hey, my name is Christy. I'm alcoholic.
Hey, Christy.
Knock him dead, baby.
You know, there was something I really didn't want to say. I hear speakers say it all the time, but by the grace of God and Alcoholics Anonymous, I've been here, like Don said, about 20, 21 years, 22, because I came here, tried a long time ago. But I've spent most of my life, half of my life here, and for that I'm grateful. I see a lot of people out there that I know. But anyway, I was born in Fort Walton Beach in a right next to a little fishing village called Destin. And that's exactly what it was. It was a fishing village back then. And I remember we used to go out and watch the boats come in. You know, they didn't have a dock. You know, I had like one dock anyway. But my mom and dad, my first dad, I'm going to call him my first dad. He's the one that gave me life. Him and my mom got divorced when I was like 2 years old. And he left and I never saw him again. So the rest of this story has to do with my stepdad, which God love him, you know, he did the best he could, but, you know. It makes me kind of feel bad, you know, when I go back to this part because, you know, I've already forgiven them. I have, you know, through this program and through the work that I've done and the people in here, I've learned how to forgive, you know, and I have forgiven them, you know. And I have forgotten a lot of stuff, you know, that had happened. But I can tell you they loved to argue, and my mom worked in motels on the beach in Fort Walton Beach, Florida, and they would go to the bars and they would drink, and then I would play in the pool, you know, and sometimes be out there till 12 o'clock at night, you know, by myself, but oh, what fun, you know, and I had my Shirley Temples, and I played my little pong games, and, you know, that's just how my life went, you know, And I didn't know. One thing I will say is that my mother, you know, codependent as she was, she loved me, you know. And I was that go-between between my dad and my mom because, you know, my dad was mad because I was the bad kid and just went between, you know. So lots of arguments happened over me anyway. I always felt like he didn't love me, you know. But he did. He loved me just exactly the way, you know. He could love me. Anyway, 19 years old, I went to treatment, and I lost my car a few times. My sister, bless her heart, had just gotten out of treatment, so you better go, you know. So I went into treatment when I was 19 years old, and I stayed there 30 days like you're supposed to. And then I moved to Sarasota, Florida, which is probably the best thing I could have ever done to get away from my parents, you know, because as codependent as hell as I was with my mom especially. So I went to Sarasota, Florida, and I went to a little halfway house, and I got in with a lot of NA people, because at that time, you know, young people, the only young people that were sober were NA people. So in my halfway house, I started hanging out with them, and I got in good. I mean, we even had, like, this guy with a speedboat, and he was, like, taking us everywhere, and we had a blast, anyway, until about a year later, you know, I wasn't making enough money to survive there. So I decided to get in my little car and drive back home. And right after that, I started drinking again. What I learned in AA the very first time was that I had felt comfort and I had felt home, you know, and that it was a safe place for me. But I was just too young. My best friend, Marcy, she was an alcohol and drug counselor. She married a wine salesman. Bless her heart. She's like, Christy, I've known you all my life. You're not alcoholic. I'm like, well, hell no, I'm not, you know. So there I go. So anyway, so I was drinking and going through the shit that you go through when you're a kid when you're drinking, my insecurities, my relationships with people, and, you know, and my in and out of trying to make somebody love me, and it was, you know, it was a mess, you know, and drinking, and I remember calling my friend one night and going, man, Marcy, you got to come and get me. She's like, where are you? And I thought, I don't know where the fuck I am. I got to wait for him to get, you know, I mean, it was danger after danger, you know, and stupid shit after stupid shit, you know. And then one day, I'll get right to it, I met this guy. He was a great guy, too. He really was. He was a good dude. He was in the military, and I mean, he loved me, you know, so I loved him back, you know. And he had this little girl, and she was 5 years old. I mean, and that was enough for me, right? Somebody who loved me, because it was real important that I was loved at that point, because I never felt like I was loved. So, and he was a good dude. He really was, bless his heart, you know. We had the boys. We had our two kids, and he got out of the military, and he moved to Atlanta. He brought me with him, and he got a job with Delta, and we had the life that I always wanted. You know, we had the house right over here in Ackworth, and we had the two kids and the cars and the, you know, everything that I could ever wanted. You know, but I guess something was missing. And although he wanted to not drink, you know, I still wanted to drink. And I had friends by this time that liked to drink with me, you know. So we would go out, we would put the kids in a room, and then we'd sit down there and we'd drink, you know. And, you know, we'd drive them home and, you know, do all those fun things. But then one day I got a job. I got this job. And it was a great job, making really good money. And I'd never, ever had a job that was making that good of money, and I never even thought I could get a job like that at an assembly plant. I would tell you which one, but it's gonna sound really bad. And so for a few years, you know, everything was okay. I would go and get work, and I would just drink, you know, during the my kids were my kids were like, you know, 9 months old. My youngest one was like 9 months old. And I met these people, and they said, you know, we got this thing, you know, and I was working and sweating, and it was the hardest thing that I'd ever done. But once I accomplished it was accomplishment, you know. And then I'd have to go home to my family, and my hands were hurting, my back was hurting, and and it was hard. So, you know, I drank in the evenings, I drank on weekends. Until one day a friend of mine said, hey, you know, I got this, and this, got to tell you this. This is where drugs come in my family. We got this stuff, and it's called methamphetamine. Would you like to try it? And of course, I've done drugs in my past, you know, but I'm like, sure, you know. So I put it in my coffee, and it helped me go home. It helped me clean the house. It helped me drink. It's a fucking wonder drug. I found it. And then I could drink a lot, and it wouldn't even affect me, you know? So I would do those drugs during the day, and then I would drink at night. You know, I would go home, and stop on my way home every single day and buy my beer, you know? Until my family started really getting on my nerves. God, those kids, they were disgusting. And my husband, oh my God, all he wanted to do was, like, be home. So I went on night shift, right? That's not good. I went on night shift. And I started doing more drugs. And I started staying out all night. And I started doing things that married women really shouldn't be doing. And, you know, I was home as much as I could be, you know, and he was, bless his heart, man, he wanted to help me. Anyway, he found out, you know, I was cheating on him, and I was in trouble at work. I was in bad trouble because I was laying out all the time. And I decided, you know, in order to keep my shit together, you know, I had to go to treatment. You know, basically had to run to treatment because my husband was pissed off. He found out all kind of crazy shit. And I did all kind of, in other words, I burnt my whole life down. And I knew about a year before, I can remember standing right outside of Macy's or Rich's or one of those, and the kids were in the little stroller, and I can remember, you know, saying, God, I know I need to get some help. I know I do need to get some help. And he's like, well, get some help. And I'm like, I will. And I wanted to get help before I burnt the shit down. I really did. I wanted to get it so bad before my life went to shit, but hell no. Hell no, I couldn't do that. So my desperate ass ran to treatment, right? So I get there, and I'm like, what am I doing here? started coming back like when I was 19 years old, I remembered all that. But the one thing that I didn't get when I was 19 years old, I didn't get it in my heart, was that a power greater than myself. See, I grew up Baptist, going to church with the puppets and all that. And and it was like hellfire and brimstone. So you know, and I would be like, God, where are you? You know, and I'd even go to church through my life, you know, with my husband and try to, you know, get the feels, you know, and I just couldn't get it, you know, until, you know, I'm in this treatment center. My life is so freaking unmanageable. I'm so desperate. I'm like, what the fuck am I doing here? And all of a sudden, man, I love my kids more than anything in the world, you know, and just like the other day, they didn't mean shit to me. My drugs mean shit to me, my alcohol, you know. And they didn't mean nothing to me. So I thought, damn, you know, I must be crazy, right? So I lived over here in this half month because I wasn't even allowed home. And I went home sometimes. I had such bad anxiety. I would shake, you know, because I'd be like, you know. I mean, I was just so nervous, you know. And and my kids, you know, they were really young. But anyway, I stayed sober for a while in the little halfway house. And then I moved home. But between then and then, I was sober. I wasn't drinking, but I wasn't acting sober. And I wasn't doing sober stuff. I would come to meetings, and I got my sponsor, and I'd work it halfway, a little bit here and a little bit there. But I didn't want to give all this away, right? So what happened was I went back home. I continued to do the shit I wasn't supposed to do. And my husband, he found out. He found out because I told him on New Year's Eve. Because you know why? My little road got narrower, right? I started believing in the program. And then all of a sudden I was, I can't be doing this stuff. This isn't right, you know? And I started learning a lot. Why? Because I didn't drink. Now, I came to meetings and I learned stuff and I did not drink. If I'd have been drinking, we'd all been in trouble. But the fact is, I didn't pick up. And so, you know, I got close to a lot of people in AA, and then he'd be like, where are you going? And you going to those damn meetings again? And I don't blame him, hell, you know? I was never where I was supposed to be anyway. Bless his heart. So after a while, you know, we got separated, okay? We got separated. This is good. This is going to be good. At that time when we got separated, you know, it wasn't really because he didn't love me. He did love me. It was because I had such guilt and shame and remorse inside of me that I had done so bad things. It was almost like I was living underneath a rock. You know, and I could never be good enough. I could never be, you know, so it was almost like, you know, I crawled out from underneath that rock and I started feeling better myself. Who knew, you know, and it wasn't him, man. It wasn't him. You know, he was a good dad and he was a good dude. I wasn't in love with him, and I wanted to be so, he was so cool. I really did. He was so cool and I really wanted him to be, but you know, I just, you know, I'd ruined all that. So he gets on the lines, and he meets a girl. He meets this girl that he grew up with. Isn't that special? And I didn't love him. I didn't really love him, right? But I really didn't want anybody else to have him. You know what I mean? So I'm perking up, and she's visiting. She's visiting, right? I'm coming to my meetings, and I'm stressed out, and I'm so upset. And she's visiting. And she's going to ball games with my kids. Isn't that nice? Hey, what's up? Of course, my kids played ball so long, and I knew all the other mothers, and they were like, what the hell? Oh, she's ugly. You know, I know that's right. So my sponsor was leaving town. And my best friend decided she's going to go to another program, and she stopped going to meetings. So I'm thinking, well, you know what? I'm not going to go to meetings. I'm not going to go to meetings as much as I used to, you know, and I started getting away from the program. And one day I walked through those doors, and I saw the cutest guy sitting there with a white crispy shirt. And then I thought, oh, thank you, Jesus. Because he knew. You know, he knew that I needed something to keep me here. And that about the only thing that would have done it, right? So, anyway, we hooked up, and he was a mess. He was a fucking mess, man. But I would tell him, man, I'm going to this ball game. My heart's broken. My husband's here, and he's with this new girl, and he'd be like, okay, I'll be there, man. He put on his best little pink shirt and his bow tie, and he sat on those stands, and he was looking out. I said, look at me. I got somebody, too. You know, it was breaking my heart. But I was like, he wanted to be beside me, and he knew how bad it hurt because he lost his family, too. He burnt his shit down just like I had. And we were two sick people, man, trying to get it together. I had my young kids. He had his young kids. And all of a sudden, my husband decided to take my kids and take them out of state. So, of course, we got an attorney, and I tried to fight it, but I couldn't. Because, see, I felt so guilty when I got a divorce. I gave him custody, and I just had part-time custody, you know, kind of thing. Because he's so good, and he's so wonderful, and I'm so sucky, right? So I gave him this custody, and it was going to be okay for him to quit his job at Delta and move to Tennessee. So my husband and I went to an attorney, and his mom was a very wealthy person, and we went to an attorney, and she said, I can't fight these guys. They're over there in Marietta. I can't fight them, and you're going to have to spend a lot more money than you probably have to go back over there and fight them. And then she said, and I don't even know, you know, if it's worth it. I don't even know if you could win. And that man over there saved my soul. Because my mom, who was on the other side of town, I don't talk about much. She loved those kids so bad. She loved them. She was with them. She hung out with them. She bought their tennis shoes every year right before Christmas. And they ran fast. And they had lights on them. And you know, it was just, you know, she was such a good grandma, you know. And by that time, my stepdad, he kind of joined the ranks a little bit. You know, we still, you know, argued like we did, you know, but they moved to Georgia to be with me. They moved, my mom moved first, and then my dad moved to Georgia. My dad moved to Georgia to be with me, you know, to help me with my kids. And I was off doing hell knows what with who knows what, you know. And they were taking care of the kids, you know, but I was trying to keep my marriage together, man. It just was not working. Anyway, so he's sitting at that ball game. And I was so proud. My heart was still broken, you know. So we go home and we try to figure out what the hell to do. And his kids were there and my kids were leaving, man. And I had another friend. Her name was Christy. And her in-laws were taking care of her, taking her kids too. And we would sit on that part. We would sit out there and we would talk about it. And how, you know, what the hell? We just messed up our whole lives. You know, shame, the guilt, the remorse. The shit that I had done is the reason that they're taking my children away from me. And, you know, and they said, well, you can visit, you know, and this, that, and the other, and all that kind of stuff. But, and I begged him. I remember saying, I begged him. I didn't care who or what or how. I was like, please, God, don't do this to me. Don't take my kids away from me. They need me, you know? And he didn't care because he's kind of pissed at me anyway. And he married this girl in a couple months. You know, he knew her back in the day. You know, she was ugly. Homely little thing. And she didn't like me. She didn't like me at all. She didn't like me at all. But she got my two boys, you know, and they left. And they moved to Tennessee, and I stayed here, and I went to meetings, and I got a sponsor, and I had my husband, and I was empty. I was empty for a really, really long time. And I would see them whenever I could, you know, but it wasn't often, you know, because I worked for Ford Motor Company. Oh, I worked for this place, and I'd have to, you know, Friday, you know, I'd have to get off work and go get them, and it just wasn't convenient. Sometimes he'd go with me and he'd take, you know, we'd go to the aquarium or we'd go, you know, he was so good to my boys. My boys loved him. And my daughter, oh my God, my daughter, that one I met when she was five. Sure, her mother was deceased. I married her dad and her mother's deceased, so I raised her, right? She loves Don. She loves him so much. We were the cool people. We were the cool parents. Yeah. And they went to, you know, they did their thing. And she's a school teacher. And he ended up just being whatever she wanted him to be, like he always did, you know. And that's one of the reasons, you know, that's one of the reasons that he didn't have a mind of his own, you know. That's one of the reasons I didn't want to be with him anymore. But anyway, so he goes and does his thing, and I'm here with this dude. And let's see. Oh, I missed some shit. So we were in and out of the relationship. God. I remember going to church with him one time, and he said, and I was like nervous, and I brought my kids, and he brought his kids, and it was Halloween, and we were going to go do pumpkins or whatever. Well, he left me there. Now, I ain't fucking doing pumpkins with you, you know, and I was devastated. I thought, who, you know, how are you going to do that? He didn't want to put my kids with his kids. He didn't want to join these forces here. And I was, and it really bothered me a lot. And that kept me red flagging for a long time. But my kids were gone, and his kids were here. And his kid was the little, you know, at Etowah over there, he was a little Indian that threw the arrow. And we'd go to games, you know. And I was just, my heart would break. My kids, man, I didn't have my kids. I'd go in a restaurant and there'd be all these baseball players, right? And I didn't have my baseball players. So I mean, for so long, I mean, my heart was just so heavy. You know, I wasn't drinking. I was going to meetings. I was working my steps, you know, but I'm like, why? You know, why can't I have my kids, you know? So my oldest freaked out, he's got ADHD and he didn't like her, and my husband picked up my children and moved back to Georgia. He was more concerned with how my kids were doing than what his life was doing. See, I told you, he's a good dad. He was a real good dad. So he moved down there. He knew that they needed me. So he moved in with my daughter, and guess what? I had my kids for 2 years, and they went to Etowah. I took them to football practice, and he took them to football practice all the time. All the time. And then there's this kid, his name's Victor, and he had to take him way. Gavin's like, can you take Victor home? And he's like, okay. And he lived like 30 miles north, you know. I had to take Victor home again, you know, because at that time, I was working evenings. I was working up north. I was working for Mary Fladman at drug court. And I wanted to be a counselor. You know, I wanted to be a counselor because I was so damn good at this, right? I forgot to tell you how many hostages I took before this. I had sponsors. I said, sponsors, okay, now you need to do this, and you need to do this, and you need to get away from that man. And you need to come to my house, and I'll help you out here. And he's like, oh, hell no, she didn't come into my house. And I'd be, you know, but I wanted to save the world. And I wanted to save all the women from all the bad men, you know. And they kept going back, and they kept going back. And I'm like, you know, and I'm realizing, man, my mom did the same thing. My dad was an asshole, and she kept going back and kept going back. But, Mom, why? Why? You got to leave this man. And she kept going back anyway. I mean, till the day he died. You know, and I just never understood why that she would be with this dude that treated her so bad. And continue to be in that relationship. And you know what I realized? It was her fault. It wasn't his fault. She chose to be in that relationship. She chose to do this my whole entire life. And I learned that here. And I wasn't too happy when I learned that. I was like, man. And I was so mad at my mom for a long time. I can't believe you did this. I can't believe you put me through this. And you know, so those are the kind of things that I had to work on. Those are the kind of things that I had to let go. You know, and those are the kind of things that, you know, I would get with my sponsor and I would say, you know, why in the hell do I have to save all the, well, you know, look here and here and just character defects and blah, blah, blah. And you got to be, you know, needed. And anyway, so by the time Don and I mean, I think it was like 3 years, and we were running because he had no idea how to have a sober relationship, and I had no idea how to have a sober relationship. I wasn't putting up with his shit. He wasn't putting up with my shit, you know. And then one day, we broke up, and I was done. I really was done because of all that shit I was talking about, because he's such an asshole. God, fucking asshole. All the time. Fucking asshole. You know, when I got online, I was going to get a boyfriend, all of a sudden, you know,
church.
There he was. There he was online. My friend told me, you know your boyfriend's online. Anyway, I don't care. I didn't care. Right, I didn't care at all. So one day my friend calls me. She's like, you're not going to believe this. And I said, what? She said, he brought a girl to the meeting. A girl to the meeting. What the fuck would you do that? We weren't dating anymore. She was really cute. And I was like, holy shit. And you know, every time, like, I got back with him that time, and every single time I break up with him, he'd run over and she cut hair. Run over and get his damn hair cut. Oh, God. I used to not even mind. You know, I used to think, you know, and towards the, and after we were together and we surrendered, because we had to surrender to love, because that's the same as surrendering to not to drink anymore. And what we did was we surrendered not to run. I'm not going to run. You know, I looked and I tried to find people just exactly like you. They're not out there. And he said, he's not going to run. And it was like, you know, you have the ball. I have the ball. You have the ball. And all that, you know, so we're like, throw the ball away and we're going to surrender. Because I don't want to run anymore, man. I'm tired of running. And I'm seeing this guy and he's helping people. He's helping people so much and he's praying. You know, and he's got a God of his own understanding. He had a God when he was little. That always made me mad because he had this real great God. I had this punishing thing and he had this great, I had God always. Anyway, so, I mean, he had sponsees. And then all of a sudden he became president. He became president. And our life was so good. Our life was so good. I went to my sponsor one day and I said, he is the son of Jesus. What the fuck's wrong with him? You know what she told me? She said, my sponsor now. She said, you need to go home and you need to tell him how grateful you are that he's paying your bills and he's taking care of your kids and he's respecting you and loving you. And I'll be like, what? You know, and I'll be like, okay. And so I went home and I did that. And it was like he lit up. You know. And all of a sudden he became bigger, you know. And I was like, wow. And he started treating me better. All it took is that. You know? How do I look? Oh, you look great. You know, am I too fat? No. Mm-mm. She said, go with him at 100%. You know, all he needs is respect and love. And I was like, okay, whatever. Man, did that work. That worked so well. And, you know, I never really wanted to not respect and love him again. Now, yes, I've been pissed. You know, I'm not going to argue with him in public. I respect him. He respects me. I'm just not going to do that anymore. Because we dropped the ball, and God is our pilot, right? So we don't have to disrespect each other anymore. It's just like that. We surrendered to love, just like we surrendered. We gave ourselves to God. And that's what we did. The God of my misunderstanding, the hellfire and brimstone, the one that I was scared to death and never, never, never felt anywhere. But I came here, and I was so desperate. I was sitting right over there, and I'd been sober a while. And I realized my life was a shit show. And I was sitting there thinking, you know, I don't have this God of my understanding. I don't know how to get this God of my understanding, but I know one damn thing. I just screwed my life up so entirely bad. I'm such a shithead. And why did I do that? Why did I do that? And I'm sitting over there thinking, God, my life is unmanageable. And then I realized, you know what? How desperate I was. I was so desperate and feeling so bad. I needed a God. I needed a God. You know, and it was either go back out there and have some cocktails and go back out there and do that thing or start working this program again. So anyway, that was the start of it. My life was unmanageable. So I surrendered to something, you know, and my sponsor said, you know, don't believe in your God, believe in my God. You know, they do. Eat how they do. They trick you like that. In the treatment centers, they'll trick you too. Hey, it's a trick. It's a trick. It's a trick. Get out. Why you can't. Okay, come in here. You take away my damn drinking. And then you make me work for a living. You know, it's like, oh, damn, that was my best friend. We used to say it all the time. It's a trick. Run, run. You can go now, now. But you'll be back. You will be back. Because we're the only ones going to love you back. And we're the only ones that are going to take care of you. Because we love you too. So my life was unmanageable. And I wanted a power grade. And it took me. I was in the program a long time. A long time not drinking and trying to work the steps to the best of my ability. That's all I did was not drink, you know. And then so when I started to get this guy out of my understanding and my road got really narrow, you know, I came to believe that he was going to restore me to sanity. I really believed that he was going to, because why was I insane? Because I was a mother and I was out in the streets all the time and I was drinking and I was drugging and I was doing with whatever, with whoever, you know, and it was like, that's not who my mom raised. That's not who I was meant to be. That's not at all who I was meant to be. So, I mean, like if you stay sober long enough, that's going to set in, you know. And it did. It set in. And I was like, holy shit. So I got to get this God in my understanding. You know, because he's the only one that can relieve me of the bondage and get me out of this hellhole that I'm in. And it better fucking work. Right? Sitting at that table. Okay. Hello. I'm here. I'm staying. Fix me. And I was pissed. I was so pissed. It was like, you took all of my, everything away from me. And now, you know, even the men were gone. And I couldn't deal. I didn't know how to deal. So that's when, you know, the step studies, you know, I'd go to step studies and get that big book out and Don and I, you know, I mean, I had the best people in my life. Don and I had like this group of people and we would come in here and we would go to a meeting on a Friday night. And then we'd all go out and we'd drink with them or whatever, party with them. No. We'd eat with them because they're sober people. Dinner at O'Charlie's. But it was a bunch of friends. We had tons of friends. All these non-alcoholic friends who really wanted to be around. We'd have parties. We'd go to pools. I mean, we had everything. And then, all of a sudden, my husband lost his job. He lost his job. Sorry, honey. Like a dumbass. I wasn't going to say that. Like a dumbass, he quit. He decided he wanted to be some real estate agent anyway, so he got his license. But anyway, we started running out of money. And I had a friend in this program, and his name was Riley Shriver. And he was such a good dude. And I met him right here. He was so misunderstood. But I understood him. Not really. But anyway, he thought I did. So he became my friend. Don's like, why are you friends with this dude? Oh, I'm like, oh, God, I don't know. Well, I know now. He bought and sold houses, and we didn't have a place to live. We were out of money, and we didn't have a place to live. So we moved up to Ellijay, and we stayed in this house up there. And it's been on the market for years. And then all of a sudden, we move up there, and it sells. 4 months later, we got our shit out, you know, and he bought a house down here. And we were free renting here, right? My husband was going to work every day at this place that sells apps way the hell away and making no money at all, but he was busting his ass to bring in anything we could. I was cleaning houses at the time. I decided I didn't want to be a damn counselor anymore, and that story's a big story, and the reason I didn't is because I am an alcoholic, you know, and it's hard for me to have two hats on, you know, be the counselor and be okay with what you're saying and not tell you, you know, what I did and how I did it. And I'm not supposed to do that when you're a counselor. So that didn't work. So he's running his ass up the street. I'm cleaning houses and we're barely getting by. And we're homeless, you know. But he came in here. And he likes to say, no, we were never homeless. Because he's a man, right? He would want to be homeless. But, you know, we had, that house up there was really cool. We would come here, we'd go to meetings, and he paved that parking lot out there with my friend Raleigh, you know, and he worked on this building, and he's responsible with his little teeny real estate license that he got to buy this land, and he made a deal. He made a deal with the fire department. And it was amazing. And we didn't even realize we were homeless. You know? I look back on that time, and I'm not taking that time away. You know, I saw my husband working his ass off. I saw God in our life. You know, and I'd walk in here and I go, why us? We're king and queen of alcoholism. You know? He's the king, I'm the queen, why? This is no example to be giving. I look back on it, and I know why now. I know exactly why, because I had to learn absolutely everything. I had to learn to rely on God. I had to learn to rely on you guys, and I had to learn to rely on the guys in the program, you know? And Raleigh, you know, and he bought another house over here, and he let us live in it. Let us live in it for a while. And it was the most amazing thing, you know. We got back on our feet. He took a job. Bless his heart, he was trying to work, but it wasn't. And we thought, okay, well, look, you're not going to ever make the money that you were making, you know. Maybe we'll get a trailer, maybe we'll whatever. But it was going to be the cutest damn trailer on the block, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And I said, okay, well, we'll get some nice furniture and we'll just make it whatever, you know, because you know I love cute shit. So, I mean, I had succumbed to that. And I didn't even care, and I didn't even feel like I was missing anything. Because I had him, and I had you guys. You know? And I wasn't running around in a bunch of fear. And I wasn't freaking out. You know, every once in a while I'd drop by and ask God, you know. But anyway, I had my friends, and we did that for a while. And then finally we got out of our bind, you know, and we bought a house right here, right around the corner. And you know what we did? We stopped going to meetings.
Hell yeah.
One day my son got in a lot of trouble. He was working. He was coming home. He was not stopping by here. My son got in a lot of trouble. And I came here, and there was a man here that I sat here, and I told my whole story about why my son got in trouble. It was horrible. It was horrible, the trouble that he was in, and I was devastated. And I was here, though, you know, and I was talking to my friends, because who is going to listen to that stuff and not judge you, but you guys? You know, who's going to do it? Who's going to walk away and say, oh, my God, I can't believe that happened in here, you know? That's what I found out. I didn't do much. I didn't have a bad life. I didn't even have close to a bad life compared to some of the people that I know. My parents were great. Compared to some of the people that I know, I saw that. And I was like, I couldn't have seen that if I wasn't sober. I couldn't have seen that if I didn't have a sponsor and friends. I couldn't have seen any of that. And this is going on 20 years of my life. I've been in this program, and I've been happy, and I've been joyous, and I've been free. You know, and I didn't do it all right all the time. I didn't. And we had our moments, and we had our days. But I never, ever, ever thought I would ever drink again. I just didn't. I never, ever dreamed I would pick up a drink because of all the people that I knew and all the things. We only knew people in Alcoholics Anonymous. That's all we knew. So I never thought that I would drink again. And so I came and I shared my story with some people, you know, and then I stopped coming. One day, I was going to the chiropractor. And I saw my husband's car outside of a bar. And I went in, and there was a big old beer sitting right in front of him. And I had known something was up. I knew something was up. I just knew it. But I thought, no fucking way is he drinking. No way would he drink. No way. But I said, hey, you want me to have one of those? He said, hell no. I said, okay, well, you enjoy your beer. So then he stopped hiding it from me. He was bringing it home. COVID hit one day. COVID was, you know, we couldn't go anywhere. We couldn't go to meetings anyway. We weren't going, so that wasn't like a big excuse. You know, you don't want to get anything at COVID at AA? No, mm-mm. But I got it 3 times. I never walked in here. I don't know how the hell that happened. So one day, I didn't have my AA friends because I quit going to meetings, and I felt real, real lonely. I felt lonely. He was drinking, and I'm sitting there in the chair, you know. So I cracked open a beer. I was 20 years sober. I cracked open that beer, and I drank it. And in that year, I did all the things that I always wanted to do. I was 35 when I got sober. I wanted to go to the beach. I wanted to do this. I wanted to drink this drink. I wanted to drink that drink. Because I thought that I'd missed out. And when I picked up, don't think for one second I didn't know I was an alcoholic. I knew. I was like, I'm an alcoholic. Drink. I knew deep down in my soul I was an alcoholic, but I didn't care. I didn't care. So we drank. I drank for about a year, and then something, it got real bad. And then one of my best friends, who I love so much, she was my best friend, and she had all been in and out of the rooms forever, and she came over, and we were drinking, and she said, we were talking about, God, we need to get sober, I need to get sober. I mean, I've let so many people down, man. I let her down. I let my best friend down. I was their big book. I was the big book they took to their families. And all of a sudden, I'm drinking again. It was like I started feeling so bad. I love you guys so much. And I let people down. I let myself down. So that morning, I decided to come in. That was a year, it's been over a year. I pulled up outside there, and I was at the 4 o'clock meeting, and I got out, and I said, guess what? These guys right here, all these people are people that I met at the 4 o'clock meeting that hadn't been in my life before. And I sat down, and I said, hey, guess what? You guys are going to be being new best friends. And I was like, I don't think, I've been here before, and la, 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 and, So I got my sponsor, and I worked the steps to the best of my ability, but the fact is, I knew I was powerless over alcohol, and my life was unmanageable. It wasn't like I had to do a bunch of steps. Too, I did believe that a guide could relieve me of the bondage of this bullshit, right? So I got sober. Guess what? He got bad. My friend didn't either. One night, my friend walked up in my room, and she fell. She was so drunk she fell and she hit her. She hit my head. My husband was in the bed drunk. She was drunk on the floor. She hit it right here and she had the biggest bruises all over her face. And I'm fucking dealing with this shit. This is ugly out here. So I ran to my friends. I came back to my guys. My husband got really, really bad. I don't like alcohol enough to give him up. I didn't want to drink. Because he was really, really bad, and I didn't want to be that example for him. I just did not. I loved him way too much. So eventually, of course, both of them came in. And they're here. One of my best friends that I've been friends with for so many years. And I've never seen her so happy in my life. I started seeing God again so much. And I started helping people again, and I started believing that I too could recover, and I too could have a God, and I could be something again. Because when I was in here before, I had a purpose. I had a purpose for years, and my purpose was to tell people that I had a shit show, and you had a shit show, and we don't have to have shit shows anymore. And yay, I had a shit show. I lost my kids. Let's talk about that. All of that was a purpose for me. A purpose. So I left my purpose. And then I came back and I got in the lives of these people. And I've never, ever been in a meeting like that in my life. They accepted me, and carried me through those crazy little times. Because I was really nuts when I first came back in after drinking. Because it was like, I never really had cravings. I had started having cravings. I'd go by the liquor store, I'd be like, there it is. and I'd be like, I'm not sober that long. You know what I mean? So it was hard, and my group talked me through it, and my sponsor talked me through it. My sponsor, who is my best friend, who I was her big book in her life. I've been a part of her family, for years and years and years. I'm back. I'm back. I'm the big book again. I mean, I'm sorry for that, and I've tried to make amends for that. I still feel bad. But my group here, they restored me to sanity, and they accepted me, and they loved me. See, I knew how to do my steps because I'd lived this program before. I knew that God was going to help me. And when I did that fourth and fifth step, Through my recovery, I didn't do just one big one. I did one here and one here and I let go of so many of my demons. You know, I start living like this. I start living with faith and courage and integrity. And then I started telling everybody else how to do this. Live with faith and, you know, who knew, you know. It's been a hell of a ride. It's been a good ride. I didn't read any of this. This was good. If you'd like to read this afterwards, I'll leave it right up here. So my fifth step turned into a tenth step. I did my tenth step, right? I had to tell, you know, what am I shaming? What am I, you know, I had to talk about it. Anything would pop up, you know. And they do sometimes, too. My dad pops up, right? I thought I forgave him. Oops. You act just like him. No, I didn't. You know? And, you know, things pop up, but I know what to do with them. I know how to pray. I know how to talk to people, you know? And it was such a gift. Why me? I don't know. Why me? I don't know. But I've had such a good life, and I have so much to be thankful for. Oh, yeah, by the way, those boys, they're old. They're like 27, 28. Good boys. They're good boys, right? You'll probably see one of them. It's another story. But they love me, and they know where to come when they need some. You know? And I said to my son, and I said, what about God? He said, oh. Because I taught him that. Oh, I forgot. You know, God. And he learned about a good God like I did. And I want to thank everybody for being here. I love you guys. I know that you know how much that I love you and how much that I appreciate the people in this room. You saved my life. You saved my life through the beginning all the way to the end. And you're still saving my life, man. You're helping me live the dream. And that's what I do every day. I live the dream. I'm happy and I'm joyous and I'm free. And that's the truth. That is the truth. And you know, like, and you can't beat this if you work these steps. Come on in. I mean, you know what I mean? I'm like, you can be too if you come on in. I mean, and I can't believe I'm that one, you know? Come on, work the steps, you know? Get a sponsor, you know? I cannot believe I'm that person, you know? Because I believe in this program, and I know it will save you. It saved my life, and it made me a better person. Thank you, God. Thank you, my friend. Thank you for letting me share. All right.